podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there, welcome to podcast number 32 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. On this week's podcast, John Cusack swings by. Sean Bean pops into the studio. We'll play Quiz Away, we get angry and nerdy, and my infant son sings for your pleasure. Get stuck in as if the podcast was a pie and you're a tubby lad, intent on its destruction.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace!
Here's an interesting story, Matthew. An interesting story. GPs, right? You know, they get it tough when they have to... sometimes they have to cover for other colleagues, don't they? If there's a system in place, they get asked to do that. As much as we do, much as, yeah, you know, you do. When was the last time you were asked to cover a shift?
Not for a while. No, some bank
holidays. I'm not surprised, actually.
Some bank holidays, I moonlighter.
Should we get Dyson to cover?
No.
Better to have 2 minutes of dead air.
Some bank holidays, I moonlight on other stations.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Legally?
Occasionally, yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Right, and the bosses know about this, yeah?
Yeah, well, other stations in the building.
Oh, I see. But they're all in the building, is my point. You don't have to go every five, just go to the same place. Well, this guy, I think it's a lady. It's a name that, I don't know, it could be Jan or it could be Jan. Okay. Let's go for Jan. Scottish doctor was asked to cover a morning shift at a surgery, okay? But the thing is, this is all like in the Hebrides. So to cover this morning shift, this 3.5 hour shift, she had to go on a 110-mile trip by car to catch a ferry and then drive another 70 miles by road, then get on a car ferry, just to arrive there to fill a half-day gap. That's like you suddenly doing a shift at some sort of, like, just suddenly going, all right, I'm off to Liege today. I've got to catch the Eurostar, I'm doing one report. Which I think is a nice little challenge for
me. I wouldn't mind that. I'd have to have
Matt Dyson's on a mission.
to Liege.
To bring news to the people of Liege.
I'd want expenses, though.
You would not get expenses. You would not get expenses. No, this is all off your own back.
Oh.
You live and breathe news, Matt. You should be...
Yeah.
You should want to bring news to Liege.
Yeah, I suppose so.
What is it about your attitude that's changed?
What do you mean?
Well, why are you so down on the news when
I
it comes
sort
to
I don't want to go to Liege to do it, really.
No one's making you. This is voluntary. I'm going to talk to the people upstairs and see if we can get you a shift cover and Liege. You interested?
No.
Dave will go with you.
What?
Doesn't help.
XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace and you join me not in our usual Leicester Square bunker. Not this morning. We're in a posh, very fancy hotel sitting opposite probably one of the coolest people in the world. Frustratingly, he doesn't really try and be cool, which makes it a little bit annoying.
If I had those boots, I'd be much cooler.
Well,
look what I'm wearing.
I am wearing.
Look what you're wearing.
Yeah, no, he's not wearing very cool shoes at all. John Cusack, everybody.
Hello, nice to see you.
Why have you stopped in terms of effort, in terms of your shoes?
I like to get those shoes from you, by the end of the interview. Is there any way I can buy those shoes?
I can give you one of these shoes.
I need those shoes.
I need to get home.
I mean, look at these things. This is pathetic.
Look, I mean, ankle up. You've made a lot of effort. You're looking very smart, very cool, all in black. There's a scarf going on.
Yeah, from
well.
The knees up, I think I did well today. But then, you know, you've shown me up.
I certainly have. Well, I'm not going to deny it. John, the Raven comes out this week, up and down the country in cinemas. I worry what you're going to do next. I worry. I worry about all our A-list guests, you know.
You do?
Yeah, I do, because, you know, we want to take care of you on this programme. So we do a thing called Snap My Pitch Up, where we ask the listeners to propose vehicles, television, radio, or film for our guests. So I've got a couple of suggestions for you from our listeners.
That was Snap My Pitch Up.
Yes, this is your chance to snap my pitch up. This is all legal and contractual.
So snap is just a yes or no?
Yes, if you like. Yeah.
Wow, all right. That's kind of a British lingo I didn't know.
Yeah, based on the Prodigy song, Smack My Bitch Up.
Oh, okay, all right.
We're quite
got
edgy.
It. I got it.
Here's the first one. The amazing John Cusack Race. This is a television format. It's a hybrid, mixing the excitement of the amazing race with the affordability of the sack race. John Cusack races himself around major European cities or hubs of industry in a sack, hopping from landmark to landmark in his flexible Hessian containment unit. This is a brave new format for an industry so far too scared to televise a very long one-man sack race.
Should I question or comment?
Well, to be honest, the format is locked down. Any questions will not be relevant at this stage. Yeah. Merely yes or no.
Well, I was saying instead of Hessian, yeah. I thought you meant the Hessians, the mercenary armies.
I see.
So if there were sacks of Hessians, like the Hessian sacks.
Yeah.
I think I might sort of jump past, like, kind of the Normandy Channel and sort of conquer, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like something a little bit more heroic.
I see. I'm not really looking for your creative input in this.
I'm looking for Hessians. You said Hessian sacks?
Yeah, Hessian was what
the Hessians I'll do.
It's not, we're not...
Or maybe the Knights of the Templar, you know, the crusading knights.
Absolutely not.
Pope Nicholas
V. Are you high? What's going on here? This has not happened.
I'm just... Look, you're the one who wants me to jump around in the sacks. You know, think about it.
What about this one? This is from Gareth. John Cusack's Cossack attack. This seems
now that seems it's kind of that's heroic.
It is. It's very heroic, but with a modern day twist. John Cusack leads 18th century European armies into modern day battles to see how they fare against today's technology.
That's interesting. So you get a bunch of guys on like horseback.
Absolutely.
With like 70 pounds of armor,
with you leading them,
and then you get the Apache laser guided missile, and you just literally blow them out
and
of
you
the
see
sky.
Who, who wins?
Yeah, that's kind of what America does right now.
Yeah, absolutely is.
Yeah, so I don't think you don't really need that show. That show's happening right
now. That's happening right now.
Yeah, and I don't want it, and I'll stay out of the war zones.
Okay, fine, it's two no's. What about this last one? You're Cusacked. John jacks in the nonsensical Hollywood lifestyle. These are the words of Cyan Rickmansworth, not my opinion. And you retrain in HR, human resources. We follow John as he battles through 3 years to gain his CIPD qualification and goes on to specialize in employee relations.
Well,
it's a long-term project, this.
No, but I will say that what I'd like to do is follow in the traditions of, I think, one of the great men, Mr. Len Gutman, who I think fundamentally redefined the use of public space by writing his masterpiece, Employees Must Wash Hands Before Returning to Work.
Okay, good.
If I could get a job like that, where I was writing street signs, warnings, things to put on aspirin bottles.
Brilliant.
If you can get a show out of that, I'd do it.
Well, all we need is the pun, John.
So none of those jobs, I think, are very good.
It's the first time we haven't managed to get one of these away. It's disappointing.
So the second one, do you want me to just be a human resource corporate whore?
Yes, but you would have the relevant qualifications.
What's in it for me?
Very little.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
All right, fair enough. John Cusack, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the XFM Breakfast Show. It is an honor, and I will now surrender my shoes to you.
Thank you, sir.
XFM.
The world's dumbest crooks, it says here. And it's not clever what they've done, Matt. It's really not clever.
Yeah.
What they've done is basically they've made two big mistakes. The first is they've attempted to rob the world's strongest man. His name is Wayne Russell. And perhaps they didn't know that he was, you know, in line to be the world's strongest man. We kind of forgive them that. But what they've done is they've tried to steal his weights. Now, I've got a lot of issues with this. The first being, don't mess with the world's strongest man.
Yeah.
The second, of course, if you are going to nick something, maybe not weights.
Yeah.
They're notoriously heavy, aren't they?
Hard to get away with, aren't they? So carrying them out of the house.
Yeah. I mean, the prime object of a weight is to be heavy.
Yeah.
That's kind of all it is.
Yeah.
You can imagine them in their sort of lair, can't you? Do criminals still have lairs?
Probably.
I imagine they've got a lair, and they're in there, and they're going, we need some quick cash, don't we? We need some quick cash. Let's call him Brian.
Yeah.
Need some quick cash, Brian. And he's going, well, let's try and steal the heaviest things we can from the world's strongest man.
Yeah.
He's going, that sounds like a terrific plan. Should we not nick his wallet? No. Let's nick his weights, you know, they're metal. Because everyone loves scrap metal. Scrap metal's very in right now.
Yeah, it is.
So
it's
hot
all
right
the rage,
now.
Isn't it?
It's all the rage.
Yeah.
With the fashion-conscious thieves of Britain.
So you've got to carry it all the way to the pub to sell off the knock-off weights. It's the worst possible thing to pick.
You do get a workout while you're doing it, though, don't you?
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's healthful in that way. And they must have been going, should we just nick his car? That's metal.
Yeah.
We could drive that. We could drive his car. No, his weights. We're going to carry a series of objects that have been sort of designed for no other purpose than to be heavy. And we're going to carry them a very long way. They might as well, how else could they have made this difficult? They could have worn flippers, worn high-vis vests, something like that, you know?
maybe take a couple of policemen with them. I don't know why they've done that. And I know how heavyweights are, not because I've ever been in the gym, but because I used to work at Argos. And, you know, upstairs in the sort of the stockroom thing, the tickets pour out.
Yeah.
And the clever Argos people who've been there for years, they know which ones to avoid. Yeah. I didn't know. I was green, you know. I was former employee of the month twice, but I'm still green. And I used to take any ticket that came through. And I'd invariably end up with a massive set of weights.
Yeah.
And then I'd spend 40 minutes dragging it through the the warehouse. As a teenager, I weighed no more than an apple, I would say. And so I'm having to do, essentially, massive weighty workouts, being paid about £1 an hour. That implies the wrong thing about Argos, that they're paying, underpaying their staff.
Yeah,
this was in the 90s. They paid very generously.
Wage, yeah.
Absolutely.
But you've been there. That's what you're trying to say. You've
been there,
man. You don't know.
You don't know. Yeah. You don't know what I've seen at Argos Bath.
XFM. Let's take to the Thames now. Let me go, riding on the tidal flow. Let me go, riding on the tidal flow. Join in if you want.
Go, let me go, riding on the tidal flow.
Keep it going in the background, yeah?
Tidal flow.
Today the spotlight falls on Chelsea. Andre Villas-Boas was a big fan of checking out the tide times there before his sad departure. He could have gone paddling this morning with a low of 0.47 metres in just 10 minutes' time. The high tide is not till 31 minutes past 1 this afternoon. Levels up to 6.29 metres. That's your tide times for the Thames on XFM. The weather is next.
Tidal flow. Let me go, riding on the tidal flow.
We are delighted this morning to bring you the majesty of Sean Bean. He's here. He's here. He's with us. His new film, Clean Skin, comes out a week today in cinemas up and down the country. And Game of Thrones as well. There's out on DVD, I believe.
Is it?
News to him, it's news to him. Sean, when it comes to your next project, here's what we do on the programme, on the important broadcast that we do. We like to take care of our A-list guests, you know, we want to make sure that they got the stuff lined up, but also that the direction that they take in their career is wise and befitting of them. So the listeners, they all got in touch this morning. We decided to come up with some new vehicles for you. Some are TV vehicles, some are new films. It's just up to you. Legally, we've chatted with your agents, all stuff like that. They said it's fine. They said you'll do it. So these are all good. So let's play Snap My Pitch Up.
Snap My Pitch Up.
So, Sean Bean, let's see if you like any of these ones. Rick says, what about Sean Bean, crime scene steam clean? Sean eradicates all forensic evidence at various crime scenes, racing to finish the task before the police arrive. Don't know if that's... He finishes that text just by saying, you're welcome. Sean, I don't know if...
Why does he do that?
There's no real motivation to it. I think it's his impish sense of humour.
Yeah, is he self-employed? He just goes...
I think it's on a freelance basis. Yeah, there's not much demand for this as a career, but maybe that's why it's unique, it's original.
Yeah,
fresh take.
It's interesting, isn't it? Just before they get to this crime scene.
Yeah. Matt, you've got one over there.
Here's one. It's just called Sean's Bean. The actor Sean Bean comes round your house and does a bit of DIY or gardening or cooks a meal and then leaves a video message saying, Sean's Bean. That's from Tim the plumber.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind a bit of that.
It'd be very cheap to make.
Yeah, it keeps you busy and actually in touch with yourself using your hands.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's good.
You get in touch with yourself, you're putting something back as well.
Got a toolbox.
Yeah. All those things.
Just nip backwards and forwards.
Yeah, why not?
Put that one down.
Put a mark next to that one.
Yeah, he's very keen on
there's
that.
A few, I mean, there's Sean Bean's Village Green. That's where you take on you're on a mission to host a village fete. Sean Bean's Rise Against the Machines. That's good. Sean Bean's Ice Cream Dream. Who's seen Where's Sean Bean? Doesn't really make sense in the title. it's like hide and seek, but on a national scale. That's from Bestie. Someone here, this is quite a good one. I don't know if you're into this, but Sean Bean's Sean Beans. It looks at the history of male waxing.
Shaved his beans.
That's right. That's right. You got it. You spotted it. You broke the code. I don't know if you're into that. Maybe with the way you dress up sometimes.
Yeah. Well, a few weeks ago. I might well be. Just coming back now.
Just to give you an update there on the hair situation of Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Any others there, mate?
One more here. Sean's of Praise. Sean Bean teams up with other famous Sean's. Connery, Ryder, the Sheep. To do good deeds in areas that need help. The pilot episode consists of them building a BMX park for people who like performing wheelies.
Oh.
That's from Neil Renton and Edinburgh.
Lovely. It's nice to put something back, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it?
To build a BMX park.
I've got a number of Sean's Bean. I've got a bingo number named after me.
Have you? What number is it?
You know you've made it, you know.
17. Sean's Bean? Don't know.
Sean's Bean, 17.
It was 17?
Yes.
Wow. I'm a bingo god. What was Ian's? Confirm listen to Ian's pitch.
Sean Bean's been seen. Sean Bean spends a night in Scene, Hollow's premier night spot, and we follow his recovery in Alaska, dressed as a bean, baked or kidney. That's entirely his choice.
So baked or kidney, Sean, that's up to you. Baked or kidney.
What should you go for?
Baked.
Baked. That was very very forthright when it came to that. No kidney. Yeah. Various others. I mean, there's Sean Bean's Bean Mean, but he's gone clean. Sean's Wild Bean Adventures from Jack. Sean Bean takes a tour of BP Garage Cafes, drinking increasingly large cafes.
That'll bite that one.
That's a good judging one, the, judging the best Ginster's pasties. Yeah. Bean Wolf.
Bean Wolf.
And it's a fresh take on Teen Wolf. And of course, just to finish, Jersey Sean. It's from Gareth. Sean goes to the Isle of Jersey to become a dairy farmer, and against all odds, he wins the Golden Milk Award. All up for grabs, Sean. All up for grabs. Are you in?
Yeah.
Sean Bean's
in!
He's signed up to all of them. This is a legally binding contract. Have you ever seen the travel reports on Daybreak? Cheaply done, aren't they? I mean, it's not like a big budget thing.
The
travel.
London ones,
ordinarily.
Yeah, the London ones, very cheaply done.
Very cheaply done. It's just like a bad green screen and a lady sort of pressed up against the corner.
It's a shame because Helen's a very good broadcaster.
She's a very good broadcaster, but she looks like a ghost at a window. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was sort of dressed all in white, and the lighting was a bit made her look very pale. It's like the Woman in Black or something. It's kind of just appearing there with. You know, it's like a low-budget Woman in Black where the scariest thing that can happen is a traffic jam. We are XFM. There's a bus driver who ordered all his passengers off the bus. He just said, right, that's enough, off the bus now, everybody, because a girl spilt what the papers are calling a tiny amount of coffee. Okay, so it's a little bit of coffee, just a wee bit, just a tiny little, not even a puddle. What would it be, a puddlet? Just a little bit of coffee. He just said, right, everyone off. And he stopped the bus in order to go out and buy some specialist cleaning product. in what the papers are calling health and safety gone mad. But the driver, he's sticking by it. He's saying this was dangerous. And he just span around to everyone and said, we can't go on. It's too dangerous. One witness to this said, I've seen worse spills from Coke cans rolling around on the floor by the seats. It was totally off the wall, said this person from the 1980s. I don't know what to make of that. I mean, you know, you don't want to slip on it, you don't want an elderly person slipping, but it does seem like it was a tiny, almost coin-sized amount of water. What's happened to you on public transport, Matt?
I've never seen a bus driver snap. They always seem quite browbeaten and just accepting their lot, London bus drivers.
Right. But
on a late-night bus trip on the number 12 bendy bus to Camberwell, which you used to get, there's always lots of characters on there, most of them opting not to pay for their journey.
I see.
One time a woman just sat there right in front of me. She got on in, like, Elephant and Castle and just sat right in front of me staring right at my face and garbling obscenities at me.
Garbling obscenities?
I had an atrocity. I had my iPod on. Right? Yeah. I was just like, please go away. Please go away. So I just turned it up. But she stayed there all the way from Elephant and Castle to Camberwell, just staring right at my face.
Oh, my God.
Shouting mad stuff.
Really?
It's horrible. They need to be policed, these night buses.
I know, but, you know, it worked out. You've got a child now with her.
I moved
married.
On.
Yeah, exactly. You made it work for you. Made it work for you. Dave, anything happened to you?
Yeah, mine is also based around the bus driver.
Ah.
We had some cheeky little scamps at the back.
Did you?
Pressing the button and wouldn't stop pressing the bell.
Love those guys.
Yeah, a lot of these bus drivers just ignore these little scamps, but this one thought he'd take a stand, so actually stopped the bus at the side of the road, got out of his little booth at the front, took his money with him, obviously, and then just came and sat in the passenger seats with the rest of us and said, I'm not moving until the cheeky
little scamps, the little so-and-sos.
Yeah, the little so-and-sos. The whippersnappers. Stop pressing the bell.
Yeah.
They saw this as an opportunity to keep pressing the bell because they thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So we were sat there for about 7 or 8 minutes whilst the bus driver just sat with us.
Really?
In the seats.
Oh, man. But now you've got a child with them, you're married. You made it work for you. Someone from Argos has got in touch, considering I was former employee of the month at their Bath branch. Probably where you first heard about me. He says, I work at Argos. I am the boss, though. Come on, get those weights. It's bringing back all sorts of memories for me, man. Yeah. But then you said that you used to work at Argos.
Yeah, I can't believe we haven't discussed this.
You would think it'd be the first thing we talk about. A couple of strangers. You ever worked at Argos? Yes, I have. When did you work at Argos?
It was like one Christmas.
Christmas.
When I was like an A-level student, I think.
Seasonal.
Right.
He wasn't taking it seriously, was he?
He's one of the glory hunters.
Yeah. Right. Just did it for a little bit.
Anyone who works at Argos knows all about the seasonals. In you come to get your money, pay for your Christmas stuff. Off you go again. No commitment. Yeah. Oh, I'm so cool. You know, you don't even get a proper tie, do you? I mean, a tie, you just get a clip on.
Yeah, I knew it.
You had a real tie. Of course I had a real tie.
Got a badge, though.
What?
With my name on.
Badge. You shouldn't have. It was probably in Biro.
No.
What?
A proper badge. I've still got it.
You do not still have your Argos badge.
Yeah.
They took mine off me. I don't know why, in case I'm going to, what am I going to do? Walk back into Argos and pretend to be a member of staff.
Posing as a worker.
To look cool, just walking around. Hey, how are you? Just thought I'd help out Elizabeth Duke, whatever it was. XFM. You should know the rules by now, Gavin. So let's play.
Let's get quizzical.
Okay, Gavin, let's get quizzical. There's a reason I said that, isn't there? Let's get quizzical. This is, as usual, Gavin, a quiz. If it had been just a mere game, I'd have said this.
Let's get gamical.
Wouldn't I? Gamical, yeah. If it had been just for fun, I'd have said this, wouldn't I?
Let's get funical.
Yeah, I'd have said that. And if it was a test, I'd have said this.
Let's get tested.
We should probably move on. Today's quiz face is...
Quiz away.
That's right. That's right, Gavin. It's quiz away. We last played quiz away 4 weeks ago with Ben from Hackney. Remember that? We had to leave it halfway through because there was a fire alarm. Gavin, let's spin the caterwheel. Okay, the caterwheel's off. Where will it land? M6 last time. Made for an interesting morning. See?
M3.
Okay, Gavin, it's the M3 today. As you know, it runs in England for just over 59 miles from Sunbury-on-Thames, Surrey, just down to Southampton in Hampshire there. Forms an unsigned section of the European route E05, and it is a dual two-lane motorway as far as Junction 8, also known for... Oh, someone's buzzed in. Current champion Ben in Hackney. He's been on the line for 4 weeks now. Gosh, forgot you were there, Ben. Sorry. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Danny.
Hi. I take it you want to play your joker this morning.
Yes. The M3 is dual three lanes as far as Junction 8, then dual two lanes until Junction 9 at Winchester. You said two lanes.
You got me. Yeah, I do apologise. It is a dual three-lane motorway until Junction 8. Well played. Biding your time there, Ben, weren't you?
Can I hang up now?
Back to you, Gavin. Here's what we're going to do. There are two service stations, Gavin, on the M3. Don't need to tell you that. There's Winchester, of course, and there's Fleet. Gavin, we're going to start at Chertsey, entering the M3 just past Egham. Now, you need a Twix and or a latte from either Fleet Services.
That's a welcome break just after Junction 4A.
Or Winchester, of course.
It's a moto. You'll find it just before Junction 9.
Now, you need to get as close as you can to either Fleet or Winchester Services by shouting, mirror, indicate, manoeuvre. Gavin, if you overshoot Fleet, you must not overshoot Winchester. If you overshoot Fleet, you must not overshoot Winchester. If you overshoot Winchester, you're screwed.
Yeah, the next service isn't until the M27 at Baddersley. It doesn't even have a Costa there.
Gavin, let's play.
Okay.
Chobham.
You're past Chobham.
Windlesham.
Should just see Windlesham on your right now.
Frimley.
Made it past Frimley.
Fleet Services.
Oh, Gavin. You've overshot Fleet. You cannot overshoot Winchester.
Farley Wallop.
Hold your nerve.
Winchester Services.
Gavin, you've overshot. Great. You're going to have to turn off at North Baddersley.
I obviously don't know my sounds on the M3 as well as I thought.
Don't worry. Look, the pressure can get to you. You are going to have to turn off at North Baddersley. But there is one last thing you can do. Dave, is Ben from Hackney still on the line? Yeah. Ben, to release yourself from Quizface and return to your wife and child, what is the question?
For your chance to win Quizface and stay on the line for several weeks at great expense to your financial and home life, yeah, complete the sentence. We are
XFM.
He's XFM. I'm a link technician. That's what I'm known as.
Really?
You're a jock handler. Okay. But if you think you can do the link, yeah? Because you... where was it you presented?
I used to present on Manchester's local
Can't even
gold
speak.
Radio.
Can't
station.
Even say the name of the place.
I was doing something
you used
else.
To present. Huh? What's it called? Manchester. See how I said
Manchester.
It?
Manchester.
See how I said it?
Yeah.
I enunciated clearly. People of Manchester would have been very grateful for the way I did that. What did you call it?
Manchester.
Yeah. You did the link.
Hello, everyone. This is Dave. This is XFM.
Yes.
Just standing in for the link technician today.
Absolutely.
Danny Wallace.
We are XFM.
Okay.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
And myself and Matt this morning have asked you unusual moments in public transport. Matt, what is going on?
Lots of interesting tales, including this one from confirmed listener Bobby in Dulwich.
Oh, Bobby in Dulwich, Bobby.
Got into a drunken scuffle with a one-man band dressed as a jester on a night bus going around Elephant and Castle Roundabout.
We've all done it.
It's a nice image.
It's the classic way to end an evening in London, isn't it? Johnny from Hampton. Well, he was on a tube, and he saw a Crocodile Dundee dressed man on the tube eating a whole cucumber. He was just holding it at one end and just munching on it, just munching a cucumber down. A brave banker in a suit apparently struck up a conversation with this cucumber-munching Crocodile Dundee, just saying, I like cucumbers too, but I couldn't eat a whole one. Johnny just says, it was weird.
It sounds it.
Yeah. Anonymous says, I was asked on the train to play my guitar by a girl who started singing along to Wonderwall. Then one American fella started drumming his legs and another was doing backing vocals. Then others on the carriage proceeded to clap. It was very embarrassing and it was very American.
That's brilliant. I love that.
Horrible.
That's amazing.
You're just strumming away to impress a girl and it turns into glee.
Yeah, that's
and
what
you're
I
the
love
one
about
English
it.
Person there just going, this is not going my way.
Confirmed listener Helen in High Wycombe on a crowded bus in Birmingham on a very hot day once, the bus driver stopped the bus, switched off the engine, got out, locked everyone in, and then went across the road into a bookies to place a bet and watch the race come in.
Wow.
He got back onto the bus a few minutes later, and no one said a word. I'm not from Birmingham. Is this normal?
We'll find out. Paula says, morning, guys. Strangest thing that's happened to me on a bus was at the top of a 77. Guy came up the stairs, stopped where I was sitting, leaned over to reach me by the window and proceeded to feel and smell my hair and tell me how lovely it was. Now, I've been smelled by random guys on the streets of London before by your usual weirdos, but this guy looked fairly normal and sober. And his friend, who was coming up behind him, also normal looking, did ask him, what the hell are you doing? And apologised on his behalf. I suppose it must just have been my shampoo. That's great. Imagine that. You're walking up behind your friend. Everything's been normal. You've been talking about the football or whatever. You look up. He's just smelling a stranger's hair. And now you're implicit. You're part of this. Confirm listener Tom, what is your tale?
A friend of mine was supporting herself from a tube on the vertical pole, and she was facing away, and she felt some moisture on her hand. So she turned around, and there was a strange man grinning at her. She asked him, did you just lick my hand? Which he replies with a long, slow nod. So weird.
It was very weird indeed, Tom. Thank you for that. Have you got one to finish there, Matt?
I think that's the note to end on.
Okay, good. A man just licking a woman's hand. You think that's an appropriate note to end on?
Well, it's sort of killed the mood for me.
Quiz away. I'm confirmed this for Gavin, and I just overshot Winchester. It should be okay, because there's a welcome break on the A27 at North Baddersley. You know the owner, Gary Taylor. He once was done for harassing his wife. Cheer up, Gary, and thank you, Danny Wallace.
We are... XFM.
I went to a thing last night and I met a dame. That's right. Oh, that's right, guys. Wow. And yeah, I'm still here talking to you guys.
No,
a proper dame.
Wow.
And I had this, I had some chewing gum, right? And I had some chewing gum and I was chewing away. And then I met the dame and I thought, I better stop chewing this gum.
Yeah, there's nothing like one of them, is there?
Absolutely, you are correct. And I didn't want to, I couldn't put the gum anywhere. I had nowhere to put the gum. So I had to just sort of tuck it, just sort of under my tongue. And I'm talking to the dame, and I'm being very respectful of her dameness, damehood. But I had this irrational fear suddenly that I was going to somehow choke or spit the gum involuntarily, and it would land in her hair. And I had that, it was a really clear image of this happening. And suddenly, I'm very conscious of my tongue. I'm not ordinarily conscious of the way my tongue is moving. Oh, well. But I'm trying to speak in a way that will maintain the position of the gum at all times, just in case it spits out and lands in her hair. And I'm suddenly thinking, everyone will look, there's all these people here, and then she'll be trying to tug the gum out of her hair. And I just instantly thought, I have to get some scissors and just come out, I'm cutting hair. It was an irrational fear. I'm pleased it did not happen. But it got me thinking about these kind of irrational thoughts that you have. Do you have any irrational fears?
Well, when me and Baby Dave went up in a helicopter recently, I kept going, what if I just suddenly opened the door and just fell out to my death? Like, I don't know why I would do that, but imagine if I just flipped out for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, I do that.
Like something in a sci-fi film.
I know.
Like, where my brain just gets... I can't control it. But I'm out the helicopter.
What happens with me most is if I'm a little hungover. Yeah. And a part of my brain opens up. And I might be talking to you, Matt, or Fire Safety Matt here. And I suddenly think, what if I kicked him really hard in the shin? Like, imagine how shocked they'd be. What if I just punched them in the throat? Just kind of...
out of the blue.
Just out of the blue, completely. We're talking about, I'm going, can you run me through, we should walk, not run, Matt, is that right? And just talk me through the exit strategy again in the building. And then suddenly, boom, smack him. Because for a moment, you'd just be staring at me going, why has the broadcaster and author Danny Wallace punched me in the throat? And then we'd probably have a chuckle about it become closer than we are. But I wonder, do you have any rational, just suddenly moments of irrational thoughts or irrational fears?
I made my girlfriend take her earrings off in bed the other day because we were just going to sleep, but I thought I might swallow them. So what? I made her take them out. They're only little stud ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you've got to take them out.
You thought you might swallow her earrings? Yeah. Just what an irrational fear that is. That's wonderful. We are XFL. You'll probably think these people are loopy. You think they're bonkers, Matt.
Go on.
To use your terminology.
Madcap. Are they madcap?
A grand was fined £75 by a litter enforcer because she was popping her gloves on and a strand of cotton.
Come on.
There's a picture of it. I mean, it's a hefty strand, but it's still a strand. It's a strand of cotton. Fell off her glove and landed on the ground. She was asked to pick it up. She refused this now. She said no, it seems. So she was given an on-the-spot penalty of £75.
No.
And she said, she says, I asked the enforcement officer, who was burly and rude, are you really going to take £75 off an old-age pensioner? And he said yes. Good. Can't litter. These people in the papers are saying it's fine, isn't it? And so the council said that the ticket was revoked, and Valerie fumed, I wouldn't have paid it anyway. She is incorrigible.
Yeah, she's got a real attitude.
What's wrong with this old woman? Real attitude problem. She's littering and she's belligerent. She's belligerent. It's a new word to describe this woman. Honestly, it's disgraceful. I know what you're thinking, Matt. Hanging's too good for him, but I'm not. I don't advocate that. We are XFM. I'm going to play you a little clip now. You know, we had John Cusack. I went to interview John Cusack. We played Snap My Pitch Up, all that kind of stuff. And I mentioned to him, a slightly awkward interview. You do worry sometimes, Matt, don't you, when you meet like a big star, an A-list star, that you're going to say something wrong.
It goes back to the irrational fears from earlier.
It goes back to...
You could say anything to these people.
You could...
And cause a scene.
You could cause a heck of a scene. And you worry that perhaps they're overly sensitive. You have to remind yourself of their past work so you don't get confused, things like that. If only that had happened with John Cusack... and this young lady.
How are you doing?
Nice to see you in a minute.
Sorry. Okay, so nice to meet you. It's funny, I actually was just text messaging with a friend because I'm missing class right now.
You are?
And my film class. And it's so funny because they're watching American Beauty today and analyzing it.
American Beauty?
Mm-hmm.
What's funny about that?
You were in that.
No, I wasn't.
American Beauty?
Nope.
What's the one with the rose petals?
I'm not in that.
That's not you?
No.
Really?
No.
Really?
Swear to God.
Am I just very confused?
I think you are.
Pretty much. Oh. Now very embarrassed. Very, very awkward.
XFM.
Let's do Early Learning X List.
We are XFM.
So you may have heard, you know, a little bit earlier on, we were playing Lana Del Rey. My infant son just pop up. Did you notice that, Matt?
Yeah.
Just popped up with the, go play your video games. And he's a big fan of the XFM playlist. So we sing together at night sometimes, and I record him. You may have heard him in the past. He's done, what's he done? He's done Kasabian. He's done a bit of Blur. He's done Noah and the Whale, of course.
O-X-E-G-V-S-O-N.
There you go. So I would like to ask you, what is the name of the band and the track that we're about to play you an infant version of? Here it is.
And so, anyway, you're this. Today, as you walking on by, my soul sighs away.
See, it's pretty good, isn't it? It's pretty good. I just enjoy doing it so much. You know, we have proper little father and son moments, just sitting on the sofa after BB's, and I go, should we sing a song? And he goes, yeah. And then he sings it with me. It's great. And then he points at the radio, and apparently I get a text from my wife, kind of pointed at the radio and said he's on the radio. Such a marvellous thing. It's a bit self-indulgent, but turns out to be a very popular feature with no one more than Confirm Listener Freddie. Freddie, are you there?
I am. Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Hello, Freddie. Freddie is my middle name. I enjoy it greatly. Now, we played you, my infant son, singing away on an X-list style classic. This is what we played to you.
And so, anyway, notice today as you walking on by.
Oh, now, we thought it was a reasonably easier one this time, so we've asked you for the band and the track.
I'm going to say Oasis and Don't Look Back in Anger.
You're going to say Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger. Is that correct? Yes! He's a rock star, that's what he is. But let's just check officially, though, Freddie, with the man himself. Infant son, is that correct?
That is correct.
Good work, Freddie.
XFM weather.
Quite bright again today with the odd shower, a high of 10 degrees, celebrating 20 years in 2012. We are XFM.
I loved your research there for the weather. It was literally a second before you read the weather out. He just leaned over here, looks out the window, and you just, it's like catchphrase your weather. It's just say what you see.
We are XFM.
We're asking you this morning for your irrational fears or irrational thoughts, things that flash across your mind that are incredibly unlikely, but nevertheless fill you with a moment of fear or trepidation. What a bunch of oddballs you are. It's brilliant. You're just like us. You're just like us. Shall we have a look at them? Yes is the answer to that.
Yes.
Matt, why don't you start?
Well, these are dark inner thoughts that no one ever talks
about.
They're finally being talked about. This is a good one from Tom from St. Albans.
Yeah.
Whenever I go to expensive shops alone, I always make it clear to the workers that I'm not shoplifting.
Yes.
It gets to the point when I make large gestures when putting something back and always check my pockets before I leave.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's just that fear that they think you're up to no good. You're a scallywag. Jess in Clapham, she watched the film Tremors as a child, and now she has an irrational fear of flushing the toilet because she thinks she might get sucked down it. So she'll only flush the toilet if the lid is down, because that's the only time a toilet is safe in Jess's world. I mean, teacher Charlie is scared that if she goes into a, or she or he goes into a public toilet and she opens the cubicle, she might find a body in there. I mean, you can't... That's gone into a whole new area of darkness, Charlie. Wow. You know? Go on.
She must be so pleased every day when she doesn't find one.
I suppose it's a piece of good news every time you pop to a loo. Emma says, my friend once told me that when you're born, the top of your head is the last part to form. It's true. But now, she says, thanks to her, I'm now terrified that if someone touches the top of my head, I'll get a hole in it. She follows that up just by saying, I don't want a blowhole like a dolphin. No one does, Emma. What a great fear to have.
Wow. Anonymous says, I own a restaurant, and sometimes when customers come to the till and bore me with their life stories, I get these weird thoughts in my head, like, what if I just all of a sudden told them to shut up instead of doing my fake, ooh, look how interested I am, laugh.
Pav in Camden, on a similar note, says, Danny, I used to sit in school assemblies and count down from 10 to 0 in my head. I thought I was going to stand up and shout abuse at the headmistress and then run away as fast as I could. He says, I never did this. I regret it to this day. I really did not like that burly lady. What else?
Confirmed listener Gareth on behalf of science geek Aidan. Yeah. My colleague has just told me when he was younger, he feared gravity would stop working.
Wow. Just stop.
Just what constantly. He just feared that all the time.
Yeah, we'll all just be buffeted around, just banging into the ceiling. Confirmed listener Laura, what is yours?
Hi, when I'm at the dentist, I'm always terrified that I'm going to bite down on his fingers when they're in my mouth.
Oh, man. Oh, that is, that's, I mean, that's, that takes it to a new level as well. Just terrified you're going to bite down on the dentist's fingers. Whatever. And he must look into Laura's eyes and think, she's thinking about biting me. I wonder if you are a dentist, if you know that this happens, you know that, you know, that something's going to happen. Oh, man. Be worse if you were, you know, involved in the world of colonoscopies. Georgina in North London just says, I hate pigeons. I always think they're going to get caught in my hair. Just caught in my hair. Someone else won't fall asleep in airplanes in case he falls through the wall. Someone else, Adam in Reading, is terrified of driving because he thinks that when he's got both hands on the steering wheel and he goes around a corner, just the steering wheel just come off like, like in a Charlie Chaplin film. XFM. A lot of comments. Very much appreciated. But the talents of my infant son. Although one person says, I think it does say a lot about Oasis that you're incredibly gifted, but nonetheless, infant son has just nailed Don't Look Back in Anger. I think once he's had enough of the rock star stuff, and he's done the footballer thing, because, you know, I was mentioning earlier that he's got the new little England football kit, and we were running around in the garden yesterday, and he was kicking the ball and then clapping himself and then kicking the ball and then clapping. He's very sort of... I think that's a lovely thing to bring to football. I think more footballers should do that. Just bring a sense of excitement to the pitch.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to set him up as some kind of Simon Cowell-style Svengali, judging talent competitions. The way he said that is correct before, you know, it was very good. Although it would take a few takes, I think. This is what happened last night.
Can you say, that is correct?
That is.
That is. Correct.
Correct.
Correct. Can you say correct?
Correct.
Can you say correct?
Correct.
That'll do.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
So we have a look at the newspapers.
There's many in front of us. Let's peruse them. Here they are, look. Listen, even.
There they are. Yeah, let's listen to the papers. To Radio First. Here's a story. The headline is, I've fallen in love with the Statue of Liberty. And a woman with a strange attraction to inanimate objects has apparently found true love with the Statue of Liberty. Now, it's important you know, Matt, before we go on, she's no angel, this woman. It's subtitled, And I Had a Passionate Affair with a Drum Kit. So, you know, just bear that in mind. Smitten shop assistant Amanda Whitaker, 27, says she's fallen head over heels for the iconic New York Monument. And then it backs up this drum kit theme, though with a wonderful little detail. Amanda, who had a passionate love affair with a drum kit while still at school.
This is the big story.
Young illicit love with a drum kit. I blame the parents. She said, Statue of Liberty is my long-distance lover, and I'm blown away by how stunning she is. She first fell for Libby, as she calls the statue, when a pal in New York posted a picture online. Amazing. She'd never seen it. It took someone who actually lived in New York to pop a picture on Facebook or something, and she's like, whoa, who's that hottie? You know? Since then, she's visited the 151-foot statue in person four times, caressing it and leaning out of the window to kiss its hair. She's even, Matt, thought about marrying it, but she's decided against it, quote, because so many others love her too. Which is wise, you know, let the statue have its wild years, I think, Matt.
Yeah.
Then when it's ready to settle down, just hope you're the one. Now, I never normally would comment on people's relationships, Matt, but this is not going to work. Think about the Statue of Liberty. It would get on my nerves. She's not my type. That's the first thing.
I should just say that.
She's. I'm never into that sort of whole strong but silent thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Get over yourself.
Yeah, get over
Statue
yourself.
Of Liberty.
Libby. She's too set in her ways, isn't she? She's too. She doesn't give an inch. That's what I think. That's what I think about her. You know, what's she thinking? Is she annoyed at me?
Yeah.
You know, all the silences all the time. Yeah. Too tall as well. Enormous. If you were in a relationship with Libby and it was like your turn to make the tea, how enormous would that tea have to be? You'd be up all night, Matt.
It would be a vat of tea, wouldn't it?
The size of the cup would be a vat, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, how many sugars? She's like, 1,000. I'm going to find 1,000 of these. Also, I'm not being racist. I've just never been into blue women. It's just a quirk. Yeah. It's not a racist thing, Matt. It's just blue women for me. It's never been.
No, it's not a good look, is it?
It's not.
Her dress sense isn't great either, is it? I mean, she just wears a big sheet.
It'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Unless you exclusively went to toga parties.
Yeah.
It's just the whole thing is just massively impractical, I think. Love doesn't always think of practicalities, though, does it? Love, you follow your heart, is what you do. Whether it's, I wonder if Libby knows about the drum kit. You'd have to be very honest, wouldn't you? Very kind of open. On that note, Matt, what statues or landmarks get you hot?
I have in the past actually draped myself around the Robin Hood statue in my hometown of Nottingham.
Draped? Erotically?
No. Well, it wasn't. It was quite a moment, though.
Because when you drape yourself, it is, I mean, it's a sight to behold.
I know, yeah. I was like holding onto its huge, strong bow as well.
Wow.
That's great, man. Yeah.
It's literally a bow.
A bow, an arrow.
Yeah. God, the Dyson drape. It's got everything now, hasn't it? So shall we do Angry Nerds?
Yes, we shall.
So what's your there's a sentence I'm working on. Going to work it up into words
soon.
We'll
get back to that later.
I'll get back to it later. Just putting that to rest for a moment. Yeah. What's getting your goat today? In an IT way or just something you're nerdy about. Could be anything you're nerdy about. Could be pasties. Could be, you know, the way the pastry goes on the top of a Ginster's pasty, you know? Maybe that annoys you,
doesn't
it? Huh? Something like that. Quite specific. The more specific, the better. Matt, what's yours?
iTunes, will you please stop separating tracks in albums that feature guest collaborations? I want to listen to each track of the album back to back, all in one go.
Yes.
Not exit the album to play each individual collaboration one by one. E.g. Scroobius Pip's solo album.
Yeah.
And other ones like Chasing Status and that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, annoying.
No one's ever said that before, and no one's ever vocalised it, but I completely agree with
you.
And it's an XFM first. Dave.
Hey, XFM's play out music system, your aux marks are all over the place.
Those aux marks are crazy.
If the intro to a song lasts for 13 seconds, I want to know about it.
Yeah.
Also, the end of track aux mark should be firmly at the end of the track, not 3 seconds later.
Yeah.
This will avoid unnecessary silence when I place the sequence in automation.
Exactly. If you're going to place the sequence in automation, then the aux marks must be accurate. Hey, people who act you into conversations which have nothing to do with you and then continue to have this conversation with another person all the time, atting you in on Twitter. This has nothing to do with me. Now you start talking about the thing you were originally talking about. You're talking about someone you went to school with. I don't know who Kevin Jenkins is. I've never met Kevin Jenkins. It's great he's doing so well at Esso, but stop atting me in.
XFM.
Steve just pointed at you as if to say, check out this guy, because you're not even looking at me. You're just going through the papers.
Yeah.
Didn't even... He's so relaxed broadcasting.
I can broadcast and check out the championship table at the same time.
He was just turning the paper slowly, going, yeah, yeah. It's like we're on a train and I'm just a mad bloke just talking out loud. And it's been like a 3.5-hour train journey so far, and you're like, is he still talking? XFM. We're about to do something very exciting indeed. Shall we play the appropriate music? Guest who? Always worth it. Always worth it. No prizes with this. No prizes. Merely pride. Pride in my work.
Yeah.
Pride that... that I can have knowing that I've paid attention to the things that I have been saying over the past week or so. It's Guess Who. I've got 60 seconds to guess who Dave has lined up as a caller. It's a marvellous, marvellous thing. In the past, we've had all sorts of people. It's always someone who is relevant to the show somehow, who we have mentioned or talked about in some way or form. Just trying to think who it could
we've
be.
We've had the asparagus predictor in the past, haven't we?
We had the asparagus predictor. Mm. We had the people organising the tours of the M25.
Of course, yeah.
The lady who spent 6 months training a tortoise to yawn. Today we talked about the world's strongest man, didn't we, with his weights nicked. We talked about the lady who's in love with the Statue of Liberty yesterday.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Argos. Maybe it's someone from your Argos past.
Could be Warren.
Could
be Warren, who did the stock room, or someone representing Index. The man who feeds his dog via Twitter. Who knows? All I know is they're on the line and we've got 60 seconds. Are we ready, Matt, to have a guess?
Let's do this.
Then let's play Guess Who. Caller, are you there?
I am indeed.
Okay, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
Very well. I'm not sure how that helps me, asking you that. Are you something to do with the survey?
No.
Have you been at the centre of some kind of news storm or scandal?
No.
Are you a celebrity of some kind?
Sadly not.
Have we ever met?
No.
Are you in London?
I am not.
Are you in England?
I am.
Ooh. Are you in Northern England?
No.
Southern England?
Yes.
Southern England. Have you been in the papers this week?
I personally have not.
Is the story about... did we talk about you personally?
I think you talked about the organisation I'm involved with.
Ooh. An organisation in South England. I know what it is. I know what it is, but does it still count? Does it still count if it's after
this? You've got it.
Are you on the coast, sir?
Near enough.
Dorset?
Yes.
Are you something to do with Bovington Tank Museum?
Damn, indeed.
Yay! It still counts, Dave.
I'll give you that.
Please, caller, identify yourself.
My name's Nick Wyness, and I'm the marketing manager at the Tank Museum in Bovington, Dorset.
There you go, everybody, it's Nick. And how is Bovington Tank Museum at the moment?
Absolutely fantastic. It's a beautiful day down here in Dorset, and, of course, we're open as we always are.
You've got the Trench Walk, of course, Nick.
That's right, the Trench Experience is one of the exhibitions we've got. We've also got Battle Group Afghanistan, which will put the visitor into the shoes of the modern serving soldier. And, of course, the Tank Story, which tells the story of the tank from its invention in 1915 right to the present day.
And it's a fairy tale story, isn't it?
It's a fascinating story.
And you've got the tank library, is it?
That's right. We've got an archive and library which literally has all the documents related in to the story of armoured warfare from its birth during the First World War.
Yeah. Must point out, though, Nick, just for reasons of clarity, that the tank library does require an extra £10 admission charge and an appointment.
Yeah, that's correct. You do
just in case. Just to say as well, Nick, it seems Joey Barton is listening this morning to XFM. If he has just tuned in for the first time, Joey, we're talking about Bovington Tank Museum this morning. And Nick, a final word from you about Bovington and why people should head down there as we get into summer.
Because we've got the world's finest collection of tanks.
Yeah. Nick, everybody! XFM. Let's look back at what we've learned today. I wonder what you've learned, Matt.
Well, I'd like to thank personally everyone for the helpful tips on how to deal with bin theft on the text messaging system this morning. Yeah. Together we can stop this menace from blighting our neighbourhood.
Yes, thanks to all of you for that. Here's what I learned. This might as well be good news. In the final 15 minutes of the show, I clapped my hands together and started singing a little song of my own invention.
He did.
What was the song, Matt?
I've had the best idea Britain has ever known.
I just had the best idea that Britain's ever had. It's a great idea, very much in the vein of Naked Breakfast. You can benefit from it. And in 10 minutes or so, I'm going to pitch it to the bean counters, the suits and the blotter jotters of XFM. Ooh, nice. It's going to happen. This has to happen, guys. Is it not good?
I'm on board.
We're all on board.
At one point, you stood on your chair.
I was so excited. Oh, I can't believe no other breakfast show in Britain has done this. And when they hear about it, they're going to slap their own faces off, aren't
That's
they?
That's it, yeah.
Go on.
You would have punched the air if the ceilings weren't so low.
If Canfield wouldn't have taken it as an act of aggression, you have to be very careful around him. It's like a grizzly bear, isn't it? You've got to remain entirely still. He's still here, and now he's staring at me. We are XFM! So there you go. That was podcast number 32 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Remember, you can listen live every day at 104.9 FM on DAB or online at blah, 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 blah. No one listens to this bit. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace!